Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so truly happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So, a little background on the podcast. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. My mission is to expand that quote-unquote societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So I've created this space so that I can get to talk to people that have all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we get to have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes from there. So I have had the honor to have spoken to entrepreneurs as young as 13, handwriting specialist, biologist, personal organizer, doctor, lawyer, and so many more. And the idea is that by sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself permission to take time for your interests and explore possibilities. And by doing all of this and incorporating it into your world daily, I promise you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So, let me introduce my inspiring guest for today is
Donna Brown. Donna guides women who are feeling stuck to dust off their dreams and step into their next chapter. She clears the energetic blocks and together they clear the emotional blocks so you are able to uncover your true passions with clarity and confidence. She believes it is never too late to reinvent yourself and live the life of your dreams. Donna, welcome to the space.
Hi, how are you?
So glad you are here. Sorry about those issues going on there.
I'm happy to be here too.
I say.
I have a lot of skills and sometimes technology is not one of them. So I'm just happy we made this work.
Thank you. But you can hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Hopefully you can hear me as well.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it was acting weird on my end. So anyway, so after reading your bio, which I love, short to the point, powerful, can you please tell us just some more about yourself and please include the leap of faith?
Oh, absolutely. So I am a mom to three amazing children who are now all in their 20s. And I've always been a proud mama. And hid behind my role as mom because I saw myself where I never finished college and allowed that to limit me in my life. I believed that I wasn't smart because I didn't finish college and played small. I would limit myself from entering conversations or doing things where I felt that people would see that in me. Now, of course, as I now know, the way we see ourselves is completely different how others see us. But that's where I was in my life. And so in 2014, we were on a family vacation and my family, my kids, and some of my in-laws were all jumping off this cliff. Mom, come do this with us. I'm like, no. I will take your picture. So I sat there for 2 hours taking everyone's pictures, every angle, videos. It was amazing. And they were squealing with joy, having so much fun. And I was scared to death and said no again and again. And finally, my daughter said, and the window was only open for just under 2.5 hours. And my daughter said, Mom, come do this with us. It's really not that scary. Come jump with us. And I thought for a moment that if I did not do that, I would go on to regret it. And I already had so many regrets in my life. And so I made my way around the rock ledge. I climb up to the top of the cliff where they all were. And I stood there with my toes hanging over the edge, absolutely terrified, and considered backing away. And then I remembered what had brought me to that point. And so I took a deep breath and I leaped, hit the bottom, came up out of the water, fist in the air, screaming, I did it. I did it.
Oh my God.
And it was like, I felt this immediate shift in me. And I got out of the water and I felt confident and courageous. And I was so proud of myself that I said yes to myself and that I did that. And it led me on this path of saying yes to anything that was in front of me that I desired to do. And prior to that trip, I had arranged to go to this one-day workshop where I would meet a woman who had been coaching some of my friends, and I was watching their live shift, and I thought, I want that for myself too. So I went to this event, and I ended up working with my first coach. I think we worked together for about, on a one-on-one basis for maybe 4 months or so. And during that first year, I learned a lot about myself. I learned that I was worthy, which was a big one for me, and decided to take chances and continue to say yes to myself. So the following year, I said yes to being certified as a mindset coach, to being certified as a crystal expert, to becoming a Reiki master, to saying yes, and this was the biggest challenge for me, was saying yes to writing part of my story. So I became a published author in 2016, mm-hmm. which is so amazing because I did that through total fear, because what I was writing about was this leap and how I saw myself and how I was transforming and all the lessons I learned. Now, the most amazing thing was I go to my 35th high school reunion just before the book came out, and I was excited to go. It was the first time I felt proud of showing up. And I see two of my best guy friends from high school I hadn't seen in a while. And I walk up to them with a huge grin on my face. I get there early and they're like, what's going on? Well, I'm going to be a published author. Book's coming out. Oh my gosh, what did you write about? My story. Okay, what's it about? Well, my journey of how I got to where I was to where I am now. Donna, we don't know what that means. What does that mean? Well, how I released the belief that I was not smart. And they looked at me, they're like, wait a minute, you thought you weren't smart? I said, yes, yes, because I never finished college. The first thing they said was, well, did you try? I'm like, not 100%. Well, don't you think that's why you didn't? They said, Donna, you were one of the smartest people we knew in high school. Why? You should have called us. And I went, oh my God, for 30 years, I held this belief about myself that kept me playing in this small space. And that was one of the biggest moments that I will never forget. It's like, and this is what I teach my clients. Like, first of all, how you see yourself is not how others see you.
Yeah.
But mostly it's just follow your heart and follow your passions, because that's what will bring you joy. And it was just such a fascinating place. But through that fear of writing that story, what allowed me to continue on that road was I knew that if I could help one person, that was my goal. If I could help one person, then all of this pain and discomfort of sharing the story will be worth it. Mm-hmm. And shortly after the book came out, I got an email from someone who said, I read your story. It resonated so deeply for me. And when I realized you were from Baltimore, she said, I knew that was the sign I needed to work with you.
Wow.
Will you coach me? And I literally burst into tears, mm-hmm. and knew that I had made the exact right choice in saying yes to that and to myself.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for all of that. And it is so friggin' powerful. Powerful, because so many things that you brought up just within that space of, first of all, the leap of faith, standing on the edge, literally, of a cliff, like gripping and scared to death and doing it, and then jumping up out of the water and being like courage, like all of this other, just like a shift, that water, like literally clearing yourself. I mean, brave.
It is. And we go to that spot fairly often. And I was there about a month ago and just stood there. And you can only jump during, you know, there's a 2.5 hour window and the conditions have to be perfect. Most importantly, the tide, because when the tide is out, there's sand there. There is no water below that cliff.
Right.
And we were walking on the beach and I was with my husband and I looked up and I said, oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, it just brings me Like it's, I have so much pride in that. I'm so proud of myself for doing that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it was the actual cliff that I leaped from, but it's the proverbial cliff for everyone else.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you take that leap when the pain of staying where you are is greater than the fear. Mm-hmm. And that could be you picking up the phone to resolve a conflict with someone. It could be saying yes to an opportunity. It could be making the decision to leave your situation, whether that's a relationship, a job, a city. It could be anything.
Yeah.
But when that pain is so great, it overrides that fear. That's when the shifts happen.
Okay. This is going to be a great conversation. So on that note, we're going to jump to a little would you rather question, and then we're going to dive into the first question. So Donna, would you rather turn into a frog for a day once a week or a bird?
Oh, a bird. Fly freely. A bird. See from above all that is happening. Land wherever I want. Absolutely a bird.
Yeah. Yeah. Freedom.
Yes.
Freedom. Totally get that. Okay. So let's move on to, so Donna, how do you define creativity?
Oh, gee. So many different ways. So creativity for me is being able to express myself without fear of judgment. No matter what I'm doing with how I dress, how I speak, how I show up, it's everything involves creativity. And I believe that everything we do has a creative element to it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the whole reason why I started this space, in order to empower people to really own and see that creativity is within everything that you do. Because there's that societal definition that, well, you have to draw or paint to be a creative person, to be a quote unquote artist, some kind of performance, a musician, a dancer, like things, anything within those kind of realms. And it's not taking anything away from that, because that's, you know, people deserve the props for what they do, but it's expanding that and empowering people to see that, yeah, if I'm in business and I'm an entrepreneur and I'm creating my business, my imagination of coming up with the concept in the first place of my communication skills, of my problem solving skills, within science, what you're imagining, what you're looking at, these amazing colors and shapes that come together, and coming up with vaccines and all of the solutions. I mean, it's just, it's within everything.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. We all have a creative spirit. We all have some sort of creativity within us. And you're absolutely right. I think most people have, or not most, many people may have this idea that unless you have a paintbrush in your hand, you're not creative. And I totally agree with what you said, because it shows up in every way, every way.
Yeah.
It's how, you know, plating food, you know, cooking dinner, I can throw the things on the plate, or I can make it a little bit, you know, the way I layer it, or however, there, it just shows up in so many different ways. And I think when we can use our creative spirit, our creativity, it makes everything lighter and brighter.
Yeah. I just thought of, I really like what you said, and even like layering the food, because it really is in how.
It's the presentation.
That's the word. I was just going to say the presentation. It's how we show up, because you just took the word right off of, right out of my mouth, because it's literally that light. Like, you could show up wearing, just looking very drab, just kind of your body posture, just kind of as a person, just kind of like, or you could stand up straight with your shoulders back, with a smile on your face, with projecting your voice. And just in that simple way, it's just different in how you present.
100%. Absolutely. And I think the most important piece is the smile. Like, show up with a smile. It just brightens the room. It brightens the space.
Yeah.
Gosh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes. So I want to acknowledge our listeners live. Thank you so much for being here. Please feel free to put any questions or comments in the chat box. And we did get a comment saying life is a performance every day. Love that. Therefore, we are creative every day.
Yes. Oh, I love that too.
Life is a performance. It's that whole, I love that where I heard a while ago that when someone gets out of bed, they put their feet on the ground and one foot first saying thank and the other foot saying you.
I so, love that.
As you hit the ground, thank you.
Absolutely.
So I want to kind of go back to where you said that whole aspect of how we see ourselves and our perspectives. And when you showed up and you decided to tell your story and be vulnerable and want to get it out there to the world, which resonated with so many. And then going to your high school reunion, I think that is so powerful in that point that you made in how we view ourselves and how others view us.
Yes. So, you know, when I looked back on my high school experience, I was awkward. I was overweight. I felt out of place. I actually wrote, I've written three different chapters in three different books. And the last one I wrote was about being worthy and about worthiness and permission to be me was the title of the chapter. Because I was always trying to be like everybody else. I was trying to be like the popular kids. I was trying to be like the cool, you know, whatever. And I always felt like I didn't belong. Mm-hmm. And I look back on that and I think, you know, I just wanted to be like everybody else. And yet I wasn't. I wasn't honoring who I was. Because I know now who I am is freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure, well, I don't know if I was then. I didn't see myself then that way. And, you know, we allow other people to determine our worth. Not everyone, I won't speak for everyone, but there is a tendency to allow other people to determine our worth and to place our value on us. Yeah. And truly, the only person's opinion that matters is our own. Who do you see when you look in the mirror?
Yeah.
You know, what other people think of us is none of our business. And that was a really hard lesson for me to learn. First of all, the first time I heard that, I was like, that's not true.
Yeah.
But truly, what other people think of us is none of our business.
Yeah.
We have to love ourselves first. We have to love ourselves first before anyone else can love us.
Yes.
And, you know, for anyone who's listening to this and this is the first time you're hearing something like this and thinking, what? That's where I was for a long time. That's where I was. But once I understood energy and how powerful our thoughts are and how they can drive us and create where we go and how we show up, became very important to me to really shift my thinking to positive and to find the light in every situation, to find the positive in every situation, to find gratitude in every situation, even in the darkest times. There's always something to be grateful for. And once I started to adopt that and live by that, that's when my life shifted.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, when I was teaching, we had every Friday was Gratitude Friday. So when they came into the room, there were post-it notes and it was like our do now, our starter, where I'd set the timer for 3 minutes and say, you need to write at least, you need to write at least three things that you're grateful for on the post-it. And then we had a sharing time and then somebody collected them. And then we had a big piece of paper where it was like our gratitude wall and they were just layered on top of each other. And some, you know, every Friday you'd hear, you know, groan She's like, first, sixth grade. They're like, Ms. Cidron, again, we have to do this every Friday. I'm like, you're doing it every day. You're doing it every moment. I'm just having you do it on Fridays to put it in writing. Like, there's everything to be grateful for. The fact that you can see, that you can walk, that you can breathe, that the sun is up, that you're, you know, all these things. So there were always the complainers, and they would just write walking, and like that would be it. But then there were the kids that would really get it, and they would really take the time to dive in and write things down. And what was really beautiful, actually, was it was really a window for me also to see what was going on in their world, because I would read them. So I'd go up and see, and I could see if something was going on in their world that needed to be, I wanted to acknowledge.
Mm.
So like, I'm grateful that I got to see my brother. It's been a long time.
Oh.
And, you know, is an opportunity to have a discussion to say, oh, you know, I love what I saw that you, how long has it been since you've seen your brother? I'm so happy that you got to see them. And then it was an opener, you know?
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. Now, did you notice if once you started that, the students who had trouble finding gratitude, did you see a shift in them?
Depended a time. Sometimes, yes, there would be the kids that would kind of go over to the other side, come over to the light and be like, be like, fine, okay, I'll add something else. What there would be at least improvement in either adding at least one other thing. It wasn't just one, it's, you know, it's the little things. I'm grateful that you came up with two things instead of just one. I'm grateful that you were focusing enough that within the 3-minute time period, which was supposed to be about focusing on this, that they were designing the paper, their little post-it, instead of arguing with somebody across the table.
Mm. So,
you know, it's being grateful for those little steps. So yeah, there would generally at least be, there'd be more acceptance.
Yeah. And I think for anyone who has struggles with seeing the positive in situations or having a full gratitude practice, like baby steps, just honor the baby steps.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do just a little bit more each day, then celebrate that. I think that celebration is so important.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because I think that is a really important thing to point out, really, in anything. And as adults, we're talking to you, like, celebrate the baby steps in everything. The little things, they're celebrations. It doesn't have to be these huge milestones that you've reached. It's the little things. The fact that you reached out to somebody that it was hard to do, and you did. The fact that you set a goal to change up your eating habits, and you did make a change.
Absolutely. Or even, you know, someone who, you know, wants to feel better about themselves or get exercise, you know, even if you walk to the end of your driveway and back, that's a start. Celebrate that.
Exactly.
You know, the little things matter just as much as the big things.
Did you ever see that movie, Brittany Runs a Marathon?
I did not.
It's on either Amazon or Netflix, but just made me think of it because she kind of wasn't good to herself physically. She wasn't mentally, emotionally good to herself, and also wasn't eating well and all this kind of stuff. And it was presented to her to just, she needed to get her body moving. And she decided she wanted to run, and she saw herself in, she was in New York, and she saw herself in the reflection of a food cart, and she went and she ran in, like she went out, and then she was like, nope. And she ran in.
That's and funny. Then,
and then she decided to walk to the end of the block, and she was like, I'm just gonna run to the end of the block and back, that's it. And obviously in the title, you know, she runs a marathon, but it was those baby steps. And it's just, it's kind of done in a funny way. And I think in a real way, the movie.
I'll have to watch that. Thank you. Yeah. I, you know, I think sometimes people put these big goals in front of themselves and it becomes so daunting.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, there's no way I can do that. Okay, but what can you do? You know, can you do something that gets you a little bit closer to that? You know, maybe it's 5 minutes of this a day or 5 minutes of that. It's something that starts you in that direction. I think we get overwhelmed when we think, oh my God, I have to do this whole big thing. You know, for me, it's organizing my house and starting to get rid of things that we no longer need because we're going to be empty nesters in 2 weeks, starting in 2 weeks. And so it's, it's daunting if I think about, oh my God, I have to go through my whole house, but okay, I can work on this drawer today and that closet tomorrow. And, you know, this cubby and when you put it into small portions, it's easier to digest, to make that food analogy. But, you know, it just, you have to start small sometimes.
Yeah, you definitely do.
And celebrate the progress along the way too. That's important.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I want to touch on before we move to the second question, this will actually probably be a nice segue into it. I like how you mentioned in the beginning in your intro where you were saying that you kind of hid behind being a mom, like that was your role. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of getting a uncovering and with all has to do with worthiness and visibility and all of this kind of stuff. Like if you could talk about that more, like that empowerment, I totally relate to that. And I totally get that. And I think it shows up in people's lives, men and women, where we hide behind these roles and we just say, this is what we do. This is who we are. Even though there's something going on inside where we're like, I want a different job. I want to be doing something more. I don't know exactly what it is. I'm not happy. If you could talk about that a little more.
Sure. So, you know, I was thrilled being a mom with my kids and it had its moments where it wasn't fun or easy or, well, I don't know that it's ever easy, but it was, I loved being a mom. I was, you know, the Girl Scout leader and the classroom mom and went on field trips and all the things. I went to every single event that happened during the day because I could, and I enjoyed it. And I was happy to be there for my kids. And for anyone who's listening who wasn't able to do it, whoever, bless you for whatever you had to do to get through what you were, you know, whether it was working full time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was really a safe place for me. Mm-hmm. And not that I ever felt like I mastered it because my kids used to say, well, how do you know I'm supposed to do that? I'm like, it's in the manual.
That's so funny. I'd be like, well, it says on page 262
that you're. And then as they got older, I'd say, that's not in the handbook. And they're like, Mom, is there really? I'm like, no, there's no thing.
There's no handbook. The things that you find out, especially in the car, sorry to interrupt, I have to say, an amazing friend of mine said, and it's so true, and listeners, tell us if you can relate, said that when your kids are sitting in the back seat, that's when the conversations happen because there's no eye contact. So things that come out, like they can talk to you from that space. So that would happen very often. And then there was a very specific conversation with our son. He was sitting next to me and it was on the way to Target. And I was just like, okay, you guys got to give me a minute to digest this information. Don't talk to me for like just about 5 minutes because I need to digest the information.
Oh my gosh.
Can I have that 20 seconds back? I'm like, no, you can't. I'm sorry. But it's okay. I love you. Let me just digest it.
I used to love when I drove their friends because they were the talkative ones. I would learn more when the friends were in the car.
Right. Yes.
Sure. I'll drive you. Where do you want to go?
So true.
Oh.
So true.
And I forget what we were talking about before that.
Yeah. 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 So you were saying that you felt safe. You weren't exactly sure if you're doing a great job with it. But
it was a place where like I didn't have to, I didn't have to uncover what my past was like. Like this was where I was and this is what I'm doing and I'm proud of this.
Right.
And I love this. And so in that space, that was safe for me. And I cherish that, you know, they're, and once my kids started to drive, it's like, oh my God, they don't need me anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, but they're now these amazing, amazing adults. And I'm so proud of each of them. They're 26, 24, and 20. And I am so incredibly proud of them and how they show up and their values and their big hearts. And I just, you know, I'd like to think I had something to do with it, but I'm not sure I did. I think that they just came out these amazing people, and I love them to death. So anyway.
Well, they did, but it's also your support and your love, and the kids can feel that. So yeah. The nurture. Yeah. So moving on to the second question, and this is especially because I love how we're talking about, because of the title, explore the dusting off of stuckness and uncovering true passions. I mean, it's like we are our best client, right? Because we've gone through this, and we want to shout it from the rooftop saying, this is what I want for you, because this is what I found and this is what I've learned, and it's your journey, and I want to, you know, help you along the way. But how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Well, so when I, so I don't know if I mentioned this in the beginning of when I was telling my story. So we went to this a year after I'd been working with the coach. We were in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at a women's retreat. There were 15 of us. It was a weekend. And on the Saturday night, we had to write our limiting belief. And then we went and burned it in the sand and watched them go up in smoke. And my belief was, I am not smart. So burn it, put it in the sand, watch it go away, sobbed. Happy tears, that, you know, the release and the joy of moving forward, the whole bit. And the next morning we were having a Q&A on crystals. And we were talking about, it was a giant rose quartz crystal, talking about crystals and this. And up until this point, I had been making accessories. I was making pendants and bracelets, doing wire wrap work with small Swarovski crystal beads. Mm-hmm. And my friend who had introduced me to my coach and was also at this event said, oh my gosh, you could wire wrap crystals. I said, oh my gosh, yes, I could. And before I knew it, I was booked in an event 2 weeks from then where I would be displaying my crystals.
Okay, wow. Which, 2 weeks?
With, 2 weeks. And by the time I got home and found the nearest crystal shop, now I had 10 days to figure out how to have a crystal business. So I go to the store and I say, there's a crystal shop not far from me. I go into the shop and I say, excuse me, I have a crystal business. I don't know have anything about crystals, and I have a show in 10 days. Can you help me, please? So she hands me a bowl and she said, just fill it up with crystals. So I fill them up with crystals and I take them back to her. She goes, that's very nice. And she knew my name by then. She said, Donna, that's very nice, but they're all blue. Why don't we fill them up with some different colors? Now, I had no idea that crystals had properties, that they were related to our chakras, that they, and how they work. I knew nothing about crystals, honestly, except that they were pretty. That's the only thing I knew. And so I went and I picked up other colors and she gives me this giant handout that has the list of crystals and the properties. And she, and I buy a book from her as well. And I, in my head, everybody's going to want wire wrapped crystals. So I spent the next 8 days wire wrapping to turn them into pendants crystals. Mm-hmm. And go to the show, and I didn't have time to do all the ones I wanted to. So I had loose stones all over the table too. Mm. And not everybody wanted a piece of jewelry. People wanted them for their properties. So this was all a learning experience for me. And as I began to do these shows, because that show led to another, to another, to another, people would pick up a stone and they'd say, oh my God, that's exactly what I need. And I thought, oh, that's cool. And that happened over and over again. And I realized that that was the experience I had when I walked into that shop for the first time with all those blue crystals, because blue crystals are associated with our throat chakra. And I needed those to support myself so I could find my voice, to use my voice. And so energetically, we're drawn to the stones we need before we even know we intellectually that we need them, which is fascinating. So I used to, people used to say, well, I need a stone for this, or I need a stone for that. And I would do the research and I'd pick up the stones and I'd write up this whole thing and all the descriptions. And it would take hours and sometimes days between the back and forth. And then I learned how to use my pendulum. And now it's like, okay, I'll just pick a stone for you. Tell me your name. Sure. Okay, here's a stone. And they say, oh my God, this is exactly what I need. I say, yes, I know you do. Right. So getting back to the creativity piece. Prior to meeting that coach, I had been, I told you I'd been making these Swarovski crystals. I'm Jewish and we needed head coverings for my daughter's bat mitzvahs. And so I didn't like anything I saw. So I started to make them. And then it was like, I was encouraged to sell them. So I started selling them. And that was the first time I was like excited about something creative. And I've always had a creative spirit. I've always like, I made all the window treatments in the house. I made seat covers. I made, like mosaic tiles for a while. I was like, I would just, when my oldest daughter, who is 26 now, was nursing 24 hours a day, I was watching all the how-to shows on TV. I was like, oh my God, I could do that. So I made jewelry pouches for everybody one year for the holidays. And then the next year, I don't know, I would just go through these phases and start to make things. And I have a basement full of supplies to prove it.
I love it. I love it.
So I've always had a creative spirit and not necessarily thought of myself as artistic, but I know that that is definitely a huge vein running through me because I see things in a way that other people don't. I see things, and this shows up in my coaching also, and my, you know, in all the areas of my, in my writing, like I see things in a way from a perspective that may be different from others. And so there's artistry and creativity in everything I do, going back to the way I plate dinner when I cook. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the way I arrange furniture. I can't stand square corners. I'm not sure why. Maybe because they can never be perfect. I don't know, but I like things on a diagonal. And my husband will walk through the room and straighten it, and I walk through the room and turn them.
That's so funny.
But it's, you know, in my gardening, I don't like straight lines because nothing is in straight lines. You know, it's just how my brain works. It goes like up and down and all around in circles and spirals. Like that's how I am, and that's how I see things. Did that answer your question? That was a long answer.
We're going to dive into more, but there's so many things that you mentioned that just cracked me up with your husband, because it's so true. And it's stuff that doesn't get talked about, I think, because it's like this whole thing of when you're with, you know, when you're cohabitating, you guys have, it's like we've had lives prior to being with each other. So then we come together. And then we're expected to cohabitate for things to be, you know, for us to get along and all of this stuff. And I mean, it's a lot deeper in lots of different ways, but even just those little things of like, I see things being on a diagonal and it makes me happy. And he's like, oh, what? Like that's off center. And you kind of have a battle back and forth. And
it's not verbal. It's not verbal. We have never spoken of it.
Really?
Now, I don't know that he'll ever listen to this, but if he does, he'll learn that way.
So it's been unearthed here, everybody, on Creative Conversations. It's so funny because we have in our house, which isn't spoken about, and it's like just an example. So if you imagine there's our kitchen, then there's a wall, and there's the living room. So my husband gets frustrated at me because I just stack things and then I close the door.
I love you.
I close the door. And then sometimes it may not necessarily fall, but it's just kind of like, I just want to get to the next thing. So I just, it's how my brain works. I'm just kind of like, I'm taking time with this, but I want to move on. So I'm putting this in and whatever. It is the way it is. So we'll be sitting in the other room. I'll be sitting there with my kids. And all of a sudden I hear pots and pans being thrown. We are in the other room giggling. And I'm like, I'm in trouble. Like,
oh my God, that's great.
Then I'll go in the room and he just shakes his head like it's not even spoken. And then what he'll do to me is he'll open up every cabinet in the kitchen and drawer with the utensils and everything. And then he'll walk out because he knows that makes me crazy.
I used to get so annoyed when I'd walk in the kitchen and the cabinet doors were open. And then I realized it was me. Like, who is doing this? Like, oh, shit, it's me.
Oh, my God, listeners. I hope you're enjoying this as much as we are.
This is what you signed up for today?
Oh, my gosh. But I want to go to the part where you said you see things from a different perspective and you don't like straight lines. And my biggest pet peeve is when you're meeting people and you go through, you know, the surface stuff of what do you do? What do you do? And before, when I'd say, you know, I'm an art teacher, even now, if I say I'm a creative inspirer, they say, oh, I can't make a straight line and I can't paint. I'm like, well, good. Like, that's okay. I'm like, I went to art school and I don't make straight lines. Straight lines are boring. But it's people have in their idea, in their mindset, that things need to be straight.
Isn't that funny?
So, because it's so
funny, funny, interesting. It's very interesting.
Well, because it's kind of, I mean, doesn't it kind of go to things being kind of neat and tidy and in a box? And
oh my gosh, I need to be so out of a box.
Get me out of the box.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's what I love about creativity. It allows your personality to shine through. It allows you to express yourself in a way that maybe you can. And some people, in creativity could be someone, you know, through writing or through drawing or through gardening, or it shows up in so many different ways and it allows you to express yourself. I think it's very freeing. As long as no one's judging you, they can still judge. As long as they, you know, don't impede my process. That's what it is. I want to be free to create the way I want to.
And like you said before, it's how we see ourselves, right? It's the inner work. Because people are going to think what they're going to think. And we're not for everybody. It's like, not everybody's going to love me. Not everybody's going to like me. Not everybody's going to agree with me. But if we live within this fear of, do they like me? Do they, what's going to happen if? Then that makes us, like we said in the beginning, small. But it's not about us being overpowering and just being like, well, it's my way or the highway, but it's about actually loving ourselves and be willing to listen and have conversations.
Correct. And no one is in our life. You know, they may think they understand what it's like or what we do or our relationships or whatever, but no one can understand our experiences except us. And that's for every single person out there. It's so easy to look at someone and think, that's interesting. Why'd they do that? Or I can't believe they're doing that or whatever. But no one knows our circumstances except us. Mm-hmm. And no one gets to tell us how we're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Or how we should do it. I think should's a dirty word, first of all, but
yeah. Because there's like should and but. There's like nothing really good that comes after that.
Correct. That's a whole other hour.
I really want to do this, but that just ruined the whole vibe. Oh my gosh. So I love also what you learned with the whole crystals. And then we'll touch on a little bit more before we get to the third question, which is, like, you thought it needed to be a certain way, like people want to wear jewelry and people want to do this and I have to learn about crystals. But then along the way, again, it's like that curvy road where you were like, oh, people like the crystals for the crystals. And then you dove yes. into learning more about them to then be able to help them on an energetic Correct. Level in so many levels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I was talking with someone a couple of days ago, and in my Facebook group, I'll put once a week, I'll highlight a certain crystal, and, you know, and then it prompted a conversation, and she said, just pick crystals for me. And I sent them to her, and she's like, oh my God, I literally cried when I opened the box. These are the most beautiful things I've ever seen and held. And first of all, my pendulum chose them for her. And secondly, I knew that they were the exact right vibration for her because of that. And they're just, you know, the word magical just came into my head. They are and they aren't. I mean, they're backed by science, but there is this magical piece to crystals. And I love that because I love how they can support people. And they're beautiful. You know, I have little ones that fit, you know, I can, you know, the size of my pinky, and I have larger ones that I can barely lift. And so they're just such a great asset in my life. And I know I can support others with them, mm-hmm. but I also love that I can create these beautiful pieces of jewelry. I also love that they are functional when I do Reiki with my clients, because I use them to balance their chakras. I mean, they come into play in every part of my work, whether I'm coaching or the Reiki or in, we're talking only about the crystals. It just plays a part in every piece of my business.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, there's so much to talk about and so much to say. Before we go on to the last question, I want to ask, were you always intuitive?
Looking back, I would have told you no, but once I began to learn more, to own it and to, I've always been a very sensitive person. Mm-hmm. I've always been very sensitive to other people's energy. I didn't have that vocabulary. I knew when it felt icky, but yeah. I couldn't explain to you why. I knew when I was around people that I couldn't wait to get away from them, but there was this piece of me that was like, but they're the cool kids. I want to be here. You know, I couldn't, it was, looking back, yes, I have always been this way. I've always been able to read my energy without the verbiage to support it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Someone posted recently, like the 12 characteristics that empaths have. I'm like, yes. Yep, 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 yep. All me.
right, yeah. Now, where was I? I was talking to somebody and I don't remember. Anyway, basically what you're making me think of is the child was ADHD, like all these labels, really not doing well in school, all this kind of stuff. But what they found out is that he was so empathic and he was also a medium. So he didn't have the vocabulary to say certain things because it was just his world and he didn't know that other people didn't hear this or feel this or see this, but like he would be in school and be hearing voices all of the time and then feeling everybody's energy all of the time. And he was just kind of jumping from thing to thing and he would get overwhelmed. But when someone finally stopped and asked him something like, what do you hear? Like what it was very specific and actually listened to him. And he said, and they were like, he's like, isn't this normal? And they're like, not everybody hears that. No.
Wow. Wow.
So it kind of goes to that part of like, don't, you can't judge. We can, of course, we're human and we're going to be like, well, why is that happening? And that's, we're not perfect beings. And, you know, it's not all rainbows and butterflies, but it's acknowledging and understanding and accepting that, you know, people have different ways.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. And I have a hard time. First of all, I have a hard time being told what to do. And especially when it doesn't feel right to me. Mm-hmm. And so I agree, you know, I'd have to really examine look back and wonder which experiences were fueled by, you know, some underlying energy that I wasn't aware of. It's fascinating. All I know is all of those life's experiences have brought me to this point. And so I'm incredibly grateful for all of them, because who knows what path I would have been on if I had, you know, responded differently 40 years ago.
Exactly.
And I am the most content and grateful and just so honored to be in the space that I'm in now, because the people that just keep coming into my world are lifting me up higher and higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so open to receiving that and being connected to people like you and to just the other amazing, mostly women in my world who support me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredible, truly incredible. I'm truly grateful.
Oh my God. Well, here, so let's tell them a little bit more about these things that you do, because we do have a little bit more time than I thought before we get to the third question. So crystals, big part of your life.
Yes.
Tell us some
Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
So Reiki, I love. So Reiki, it was 2016 that I got all those certifications and I was taking all those courses and doing all of those things. And I walk into the course and it was actually a course about chakras, but we were getting Reiki as part of it. And it was, I had just started my crystal business. I walked into a networking event and somebody said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I work with crystals." And she shows me a bracelet, a beaded bracelet. And she said, "Oh, this is crystals. And the person I got it from put Reiki into it." I'm like, "Oh, I want to learn how to do that." And so the only person I ever knew associated with it was a good friend of my daughter's close, was the mother of my daughter's close friend from middle school. And this was, you know, I don't know, 12 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called her up and I said, "Hey, I want to learn Reiki. Any ideas?" And she said, "Oh, I have a class starting next Wednesday. It's 8 weeks. You'll learn Reiki 1 and 2. And I'm like, "Great." Open my calendar. Every day was solidly booked, but every Wednesday was open. I'm like, sold. Okay, that's a good sign. So I go the first day and she's talking about Reiki. And she said, "You'll learn Reiki's level 1 and 2 during these 8 weeks. Level 1 is when you can do Reiki on yourself. And level 2 is when you can do Reiki on others. You can send it long distance and you can send it forward in time or backward in time." And I'm pretty sure my jaw was on the floor because I thought, how on earth do you do that? Like, no concept of how that, I didn't even know what Reiki was.
Right.
You know, it was just, okay, I need to do this was what, and that was my yes year. So yes. Mm-hmm. And so I learned Reiki 2 and I reached out to, you know, half a dozen friends and I said, I just learned this. I want to see what the experience is. I want to see if you feel it. And the first friend was in California and I'm in Maryland. And, she said afterwards, she said, "How did you know? Oh my gosh, I went right to the area that I was, that's been bothering me." And I'm like, "Oh my God, that's amazing. Yes." And then another friend, she's like, "How did you know my hip was hurting so bad?" I'm like, "Oh my God, your hip." But I'm making light of it, but I was like so wowed that I was able to do that. It's like, "Oh my God, I have power. This is amazing. I can't believe I can do this. This is incredible." Yeah. And I knew then that that was going to be a huge shift for me. And so I started, and even when we were being taught Reiki, you can do it with the hands touching the people, or you can have your hands hover. That was my preferred method because for me, I could feel the energy more if I wasn't hands-on. And so I already had that piece of it, which because when you're sending in long, okay, so I'm saying the word Reiki and I'm talking about that and my hands are just like tingling beyond.
Right.
And then when the pandemic hit, I took a course last summer and they were teaching a new level, a newer energy, a newer Reiki energy that was more powerful. And I took that course and I am so grateful I did, because my energy now is so intense. And I have clients out west, in Europe. They feel it as I scan their bodies. I see their bodies and I scan their bodies and I can find out where there's resistance and that's where the blockages are. And I send it Reiki, and the results that I've been getting since I up-leveled this energy have been amazing. My clients are, it's been life-changing.
God. I just got to breathe. Okay. So much energy. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to speak to Donna. So Donna, let's wrap it up with the third question, which is what we've spoken about, but putting it in a box with a little bow. So why is creativity important?
Creativity is important. Is that in general or to me?
However you want to perceive it.
Okay. So I believe creativity is important, especially for me, because I can express myself in a way that is true to my spirit. It allows me to show up fully who I am unapologetically.
Show up unapologetically. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think about these words. Think about all that we've said and how do you show up? And don't beat yourself up about it. Just acknowledge and just be an observer. And think about those little baby steps. If you're not showing up in the way that you want, then take the little baby steps. Pick something that you want to tweak. Pick something that you want to work into your world. But don't overwhelm yourself. Don't do like 10 different things because you know you're not going to do that.
Yeah. And I would like to add, it's never too late. I took that leap off that cliff at 51. Mm-hmm. It is never too late to step into the life of your dreams or to uncover your dreams or to honor your spirit and your soul, because we're all deserving of it.
Amen. So please, Donna, tell them how they can find you.
Absolutely. So my website is donnabrowndesigns.com, and there are links to everything that I've talked about, the Reiki, my coaching, crystals, everything's there. So I would love to connect with anyone who would like to connect with me. So I post a lot of my things in Instagram under crystals_2TO_clarity, crystals to clarity. So you can follow me there, and I post almost daily.
Well, Donna, I am so grateful. Thank you so much for taking this hour to chat and make me laugh and start off this Friday in an incredible way. I really appreciate you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for you too. Thank you so much. This was such an amazing hour. I don't even know what time it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you for inviting me.
Oh my God, so fun. So grateful. And to our live listeners, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and those listening to the replay, we are very, very grateful. Time is very precious. This space is all about sharing stories. So please, it's all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing. Please like, follow, and share so we can spread the goodness and just get these stories out there. And also, if you're interested in telling your story, I have a publishing company called Express Yourself Publishing, and I have 2 multi-author books that are out there. And I would love to talk to you about them, because just like Donna was talking, it's like when you get the chance to tell your story and release it, it's pretty life-changing. So please just reach out, and would love to have a chat. I am wishing you a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be talking soon. Bye, everybody.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shui, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.